So we're here with James Gardner again, who's running on the conservative and Republican lines for mayor of the city of Buffalo. And we're going to continue our conversation today about city services and, you know, this being obviously one of the most visible, tangible things that citizens experience, but also something that every single candidate brought up in our earliest discussions, you know, particularly the pothole season in Buffalo. So what I want to do is get into more specifics on how we actually fix things, because as I started to try and figure out what department does what and compare that to other cities, Buffalo does seem to be, you know, quite honestly, at least to me, a bit of a hopeless mess. So I'll run through streets, sanitation, and public works quickly as I saw it. And it seems like the streets department does the following things. Now, all these departments may do other things, but these are the these are the pertinent things to our conversation. So the streets department does street sweeping, snow plowing, bulk trash. They cut the grass on city-owned lots. They pick up leaves in the fall. They pick up the Christmas trees after Christmas. The sanitation department does the weekly garbage pickup, is responsible for recycling, but that's contracted out, and then composting, which is also contracted out. And then I want to clarify too that I understand there was a composting location and electronics drop-off, which I think may both now be closed, but we can talk about that at some point. And then I believe the way it's supposed to work is that the user fee is supposed to cover the cost of this these actual services. And then the public works department, I understand, is the department that would be fixing potholes, not the streets department, and things like light poles, but not the actual lights themselves, because that's National Grid. So anyway, I want to start to understand this kind of complex web of city services, which as citizens we might all think is, you know, falls under the same department, but actually doesn't. So to start this off, like, am I correct? Are there things here, and does any of this make sense?
Yeah, that's my general understanding also, that we basically have, and I think just to make it even more confusing, I think all of this is sort of tucked into the public works department. So you used to have, and my understanding is, you used to have a separate division within the city. So you used to have a commissioner for public works and a commissioner for streets. Now you have all of these, I think it was under Masiello, consolidated all of these functions under public works. So within public work, that's what makes it even more confusing, is within public works, you also have, you have the streets and sanitation department, and you have public works. So you have, so that's for, you know, just sort of from a management perspective, that's, I think, how it's organized. But the, what you've sort of hinted at, and what you, what that sort of description lays out, is that you have a, there's a, it seems as though there's an awful lot of concurrent, a lot of overlap, where there could be a lot of efficiencies realized between those departments, because they all provide, you know, the streets department picks up bulk trash, but the sanitation department picks up garbage. And so there's a difference between, in the budget, between garbage and trash. Trash gets picked up by one department, garbage gets picked up by another. Garbage is everything that goes into your tote. Everything else is trash. And it's that kind of picayune difference of a word that we, you know, use interchangeably, that that has pretty significant budgetary consequences, because one is supported by the user fee, one is not, and how those charges get billed, it matters for developing the city budget.
So, you know, to understand that, so there's two separate line items, I guess, then in the budget. One for trash and one for garbage.
Right. Well, yeah. This gets to my, one of the issues that I want to sort of talk about in my campaign, which is, so you have the user fee, and that's kind of why you have this division. I think one of the reasons why you still have, you know, a sort of, a lot of this probably, in, if you were in a town or another municipality, this would be covered by the highway department, right? Mm-hmm. But because we have this thing called the user fee, you have to have a standalone department that that is directly tied to that source of revenue. Now, when the user fee came out in whatever was the 90s, the idea was it was supposed to be temporary. It was another budget. It was another budget fix, and it was supposed to make garbage collection self-sufficient. That's, to my knowledge, never happened. Neither one of those things. Obviously, it was permanent. It's still with us today. And if you look at the budget now, the user fee, basically, which supports something called the Enterprise Fund. So if you look in the city budget, the user fee goes into something called the Enterprise Fund. And there are two enterprise funds, one that deals with garbage and one that deals with parking. So the user fee supports the Enterprise Fund, which is in charge of garbage collection, which is collected by the sanitation department. So that fund currently operates at a structural deficit. So right now the user fee, the Enterprise Fund, the Enterprise Garbage Fund owes the City of Buffalo General Fund, so owes the city treasury, $28 million. What that means is, the user fee hasn't adequately supported, or it's the department's been so mismanaged that it the user fee that we're paying isn't actually fully covering the cost of garbage collection. So what happens is the city actually has to provide additional funds from the general fund to the enterprise fund to make to collect our garbage. So the user fee actually owes the city $28 million. If you can wrap your head around that.
I only partially. So that does lead to one of the other kind of things that I was going to get to later, but now is the time to get to this. And personally, one of my criticisms of, you know, these additional fees in any kind of system, in any system. And so two of them in Buffalo that have been instituted since I've been here, and I was particularly opposed to one of them, the rental registry. So the user fee and the rental registry, the thing about them is they create their own department.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my real issue with it's less the actual fee and that you're paying for garbage collection, because these kind of things can be, like, if you really pull a budget apart, if, you know, no matter what it is, you know, business budget, your family budget, your municipal budget, there may be things that have to be paid for, like the costs have to go up because they actually go up. So it's not actually the money. That's a whole separate conversation. But what does it cost to run these departments and how many people are involved? And
you're talking about, you know, within the sanitation department itself, you're talking about, because each department has, and this is the way the city does it right now, is, you know, you have, I think, at least 47 drivers. So you have at least 40. So you have, in order to pick up garbage, you need to have, the contract calls for having a driver, a lifter, and a, you know, another person on the back of the truck. So you need a driver and you need two people on the back of the truck. Those two people can either be a laborer too, or a seasonal employee. So those are different classifications in the city budget on in terms of their of, you know, what their title is. And this all goes to because you require those three people to operate one garbage truck, you have a dispatch problem, because if a laborer is late or a seasonal is late, or you're missing one of those two people on the back of the truck, that truck can't go collect garbage. So it has to wait until somebody comes along and you have the full three complement of three people in order for that truck to dispatch. And what that has done is that's one of the causes of this ripple effect of why we're having an overtime. You know, right now the sanitation department has a $3 million overtime budget. When I was a kid in the city of Buffalo, garbage got collected in one shift or close to it. Now it's taking at least two shifts to collect garbage in one district. Okay, and maybe this is a better way to sort of look at this whole thing, is there are about 80,000 houses, points, that the city collects garbage from in the city. And those get rotated, they get divided into five districts, right? So you're talking about 16,000 points that get their garbage collected every day, every workday, over the course of a week in the city of Buffalo. And the way it currently works now is the way the city does it is each one of those trucks has an assigned route. So those, whether, you know, and there's a lot of variation, I imagine. I assume they try to keep it as uniform as possible. But on some days, there are going to be certain routes that have more garbage than others. You're going to have, you know, certain people, like in the summer, people are on vacation, they're not putting their garbage out. The way it currently works now is those trucks, once they've completed their assigned route, whether they're half full or completely full, they go to the East Side Transfer Station to dump. Part of what I would, one of the efficiencies that I'd like to realize is instead of having an assigned route-based system, we go to a district-based system. So if I'm driving a truck and I finish early, I don't go back to the transfer station and my day's done. I continue, I call the supervisor who's in the district and say, where are we short? Where do we need help? And I get redeployed back to a portion of that district that hasn't been collected yet. Right now, the city contract calls for 6 hours, at least a 6 hour workday for garbage collection, for basically people who are garbage men. Currently, because of past practices and everything else, they're only working 4 hours. And that made sense back in the day where people were actually physically picking up a garbage pail. It was in dumping it into a truck. You're talking about a very labor-intensive, strenuous job. Now these trucks have mechanical arms that do the lifting for you. You have totes that are specifically designed to be lifted. I'm not saying that the job is easy or great. What I'm saying is the job has changed. And what we need to be able to do, and what I would propose to do, is make sure that we're getting the full contracted hours of work out of all of those employees. And by shifting from having a route-based system to a district-based system, we can start reducing our reliance on overtime. Which is what is, I mean, you see it every day. Our campaign offices are on Broadway and Fillmore, and right across the street from the old Sattlers is where, in that district, all the garbage truck get up and meet for their second shift. And it's insane how many of those garbage trucks are there to begin a second shift when the vast majority of the work should have been done in one shift. We really shouldn't need a second or third shift, God forbid. So those are one of the points that we can sort of realize efficiencies, but it goes much beyond that. I think we have to overhaul completely the way that we approach garbage collection in Buffalo. And what I would do as mayor is I want to, first of all, I would propose getting away from having bulk garbage days. If you go out in the suburbs, if you have garbage, you put it out. You don't store it in your home until the one or two days a year, and then you dump it all on the curb, and have the streets department then have to come and pick it up. What I would propose doing is having on your assigned garbage day in your district, I would want the streets department, the sanitation department, the water employees and sewer employees. I want to flood the zone of that district. So up where I live right now, it's garbage day. So I want our sanitation employees out there, our garbage trucks coming in, picking up the totes. If I have more than two pieces of garbage out there, bigger pieces of garbage, if there are a table and a chair, whatever it is, smaller pieces, but not something that's fitting in the tote, my expectation is the sanitation workers would be able to fit that into their compactor truck and move along. if I'm putting out bigger pieces like a couch or mattress or box spring, stuff that you normally get and you can't necessarily just put out at any time of the year, you're going to be able to put that out. And we're going to have Streets employees in their dump trucks and a high lift if we need to. There, with a dump truck, you're going to need it. There to pick up those bulkier pieces of garbage. At the same time all of this is going on, we want to deploy our street sweepers to make sure that we're cleaning behind the garbage trucks, we're cleaning behind the streets dump trucks, as we're picking things up. And I also want our employees, city employees, to test our fire hydrants at the same time, because we had a horrible tragedy that happened over on Victoria on the east side, where they had a fire and they opened up the fire hydrant and there wasn't enough water pressure because no one had tested that fire hydrant. We also need our sewer employees there to clean out the sewer receivers, the grates at the end of the street. They always get stuck up with leaves and everything, you know, refuse and garbage that's in there. All that should be happening on a regular basis. All of it. Because you're going to have the supervisors there that are going to be able to identify the problem. We should have the available workforce in that district to collect the, whether it's garbage or address the needs of that specific district on that specific day. And you're not going to get this sort of, you know, the sort of buildup of problems that all of our streets get, because they're going to have the regular maintenance, the regular attention from each specific department, whether it's governed by public works, sanitation, or streets. That district is going to get the fingerprint of each of those departments on the assigned garbage collection day. I just think it seems to make perfect sense that if you're putting your garbage out, you're going to have a lot of employees there anyway. Let's make sure we're doing it all at once. Get it and try to realize the efficiencies of having those employees on scene at the same time.
That's an interesting idea. When I was looking in the streets department, does street sweeping. In the spring, I'll notice the street sweeper, you know, go up our street one way, and we do not have alternate parking on our street anymore, and so it will go up the middle and then come back down the other way, and that happens like once a year.
Yeah.
And I remember when my mother was living in Manhattan, and I would drive down fairly often from Buffalo to go visit, there was a similar situation that happened to what you're describing. I don't know if they did all of those things, but there was a time, it was like, let's just say it was like Tuesdays for 2 hours on her block, it was posted that there was no parking.
Yeah.
And you had to move your car. If you didn't move your car,
they were taking it.
They would just move it. They would put it somewhere else in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And so then you would have to go figure out where in the hell your car was. Mm-hmm. But it was like, boom. The first thing that came through was anybody that hadn't moved their car, that car was moved, and then all these city crews came through. They did street sweeping. They did whatever else they were going to do. And then, boom, they moved on. They were onto another block, and the next two blocks down might have been the next 2 hours, right, or whatever the stagger was of clearing that neighborhood. So, and in Buffalo, you know, there's if you can't move the cars, you can't street sweep the streets.
Nope.
It's just like
this. And we only have four of them. We only have four street sweepers. I mean, and we have like maybe one or two water trucks. I mean, which gets me to another point here, which is the city has a myriad of problems. Some of them is, you know, I don't think the first problem that we have is too many employees. I think we have a lot of employees. What we don't have necessarily is we don't have the other resources that we need to get the job done. So we don't have enough street sweepers. We absolutely do not have enough snowplows, which is, you know, another crucial function here of the streets department, where And that in that area, the issue is even if we have too many employees or too many employees, if we have a lot of employee resources tied up in certain classifications, one thing we don't have enough as a city is mechanics. All of these big pieces of equipment are incredibly complicated, and they break all the time because they do heavy, heavy work. And you know, a snowplow is, you're talking about some of the most ferocious conditions you can put a piece of machinery out. Every time you send one of those trucks out, they come back, something's broken on them. And right now, the first place the prior administration would make cuts are the mechanics, which makes no sense at all. And that's a place where we need to develop, we need to invest more resources in, to make not only make sure that we have enough mechanics, but that where we're paying them a competitive wage. Because right now, from what I understand, is as soon as there's an opening at West Her or Northtown, those mechanics are out of city employment because they can make much more money up. Even with our 42% benefit package, they can make much more money working there, and that's where they go. As I think I've mentioned before, the city of Buffalo has 1,600 lane miles to plow when it snows. We have 25 snow plows to do it. The town of West Seneca has 240 lane miles to plow, and they have 16 trucks. So for the extra 1,300 lane miles, we have an additional 10 extra trucks. There's no way that we're going to achieve the kind of clearance rate that people expect. That's why the city of Buffalo shuts down when we get what we would consider insignificant snowfall. You know, I mean, and that's why we have, you know, the residential streets just are a total. It's not because we don't have the employees to do the job. It's because we don't have the trucks. And those trucks can't dispatch because even if we have them, chances are several of them are broken. So we need to invest as a city into that heavy equipment in order to keep pace with the expectations that residents have living in Buffalo, New York, that we're going to be able to handle our snowfall. I mean, and that gets to a wider point of just how the city does maintenance in general. You know, if we're not taking care of things, trucks that cost $200,000 a year, we're certainly not taking care of our roads. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know we've talked about this before, but the simple act of, and this is a function of public works, is street maintenance. And, you know, the way the city plows or the way the city pours roads is, you know, the mill and overlay, there's a seam. You can see it as clear as day, almost the day after they're done pouring the road, you know, laying out the asphalt and rolling it. There's a seam there. And over time, whether it's a year or two, that seam begins to break apart. And what every other municipality does is they come in with crack filler and they seal that. Mm-hmm. We don't do it. And the reason we don't do it is because we're broke. Because in a perverse way, it's cheaper for us to wait for that road to completely disintegrate and have to tear it out and re-pour it because you can bond it, right? You can bond out a mill and overlay of a road. You can't do that with maintenance. That's something that the city has to come out of its own budget. So because of fiscal mismanagement, we don't have, the city to this point hasn't had the money to invest in the road maintenance that we need to invest in to preserve the life expectancy of those roads. How insane is that? That it's somehow cheaper in the city's eyes to spend millions when they could just spend a couple thousand and preserve the life of those roads so that we don't have to, you know, drive down, you know, a road that seems like it's out of Mogadishu, you know, like where they're, and I don't want to denigrate Mogadishu. I'm sure they have probably better roads in some respects than we do, where you have these huge potholes, which gets me to, like, just how we do that, how we fill them makes no sense. Coal patch, and then let the cars roll over it to sort of tamp it down. What are we doing?
No, I would agree. And I mean, one of the things that would do is if these things become budgeted to actually fix things, is then that opens up money or projects that could be bonded that would actually do other
things. The fun stuff.
Like, yeah, like this, imagine if, like, you know, we could get all the community centers not looking like rat holes.
Yes.
Like,
yeah,
and,
I mean,
and the swimming pools open again. Like, I mean, these are the kind of things that,
right,
that I think, you know, have to be figured out, because, you know, one of the things that, like, you know, I don't want to digress too far here, but, you know, like the Ralph Wilson Foundation, mm-hmm, you know, that's their mission. And it came out of, you know, a horrible experience in the Wilson's life to create spaces for young people to play, to be social, to do something, you know, that was, you know, positive for themselves, give them something to do. So there wasn't all this sort of aimless behavior, which can turn destructive. One of the things I wanted to touch on though with this is what's the actual bureaucratic management for something like the user fee, for example, that, so there's this, the user fee is a separate office from the sanitation department, from what I understand.
No, so what the user fee does is, the user fee, and this is to the best of my knowledge, the user fee funds sanitation. So it funds it through
its own office,
right? Right,
right.
Well, so through the, it's designated, right? So through the user fee, the user fee goes into something called the enterprise fund for garbage. And that enterprise fund for garbage funds the sanitation department. That's my understanding of how the money flows. Now, at the end of the day, I don't think it makes sense any longer to have a standalone user fee. And the reason why it was, the justification for it was this. We have in the city of Buffalo lots of exempt properties. So lots of properties that don't pay any form of property tax at all. Roswell Park, Kaleida, every hospital, every school, every nonprofit, every charity, all those. I mean, think of, if you walk down Delaware Avenue, there are whole, which is some of the, you know, priciest real estate in the city of Buffalo, there are whole blocks of it that contribute nothing to our property tax base because they're exempted under New York state law. So at the time in the 90s, the question was, these exempt properties are still using city services, right? They're still, the employees are still driving on the roads. They're still, when they call the police, they show up, the fire department shows up, they're drinking water, you're flushing their toilets, and they're putting their garbage out. And there's no way for the city to get any money for these services, right, that we're providing free of charge, essentially. So the user fee came out of that sort of idea of, this is a way to sort of tie the provision of a specific service to a specific fee that you can charge an otherwise exempt property from. You could charge them for the collection, for the provision of the service. The fact of the matter is, if you look at most of these nonprofits now, they don't use Buffalo for garbage collection. Most of them use Casella or Modern. Most of them use dumpsters. City of Buffalo doesn't do dumpsters. We don't have a way to collect it. So if you see a dumpster, that's not getting collected by the City of Buffalo Sanitation Department. So in many ways, the justification for having the user fee has gone away, because the entities that were that they were targeted toward no longer use the service. And if they don't use the service, they don't pay the user fee. So the only people now who are paying the user fee are the vast majority of us, who are residents or business owners that pay property taxes that aren't exempt. So all the user fee has done is, you know, it's just another bill that comes at the wrong time, that everyone overlooks, and it's something that trips up homeowners or business owners. It's just something you lose track of, and you can get into hock with the city over. So I would propose, once that $28 million gets paid off, once that debt from the enterprise fund is reimbursed to the general fund of the city, get rid of the user fee. Get rid of it. fold that fee into your regular property tax bill, so you get one bill, mm-hmm. or what is whatever it is, the biannual bill or whatever that everybody gets. And because right now we've kept it because, well, one, I think you have to keep it until it pays off the debt, but two is, you know, it's just hanging around because it's been there for a long time, which is kind of the way City of Buffalo does a lot of things. We just do things because that's the way it's always been done.
I guess I would wonder too, if it has this deficit, if it owes the general fund $28 million, can it actually pay it off? Like, I wonder what the mechanics of that
so
are.
So it gets paid off through much better management of it. So, for example, I mean, we have a plan to absolutely make sure that it pays off that debt, $5 million a year. And you do it because if you're talking about, you know, each district being 16,000 homes that a garbage truck has to get collected from within that one day, we can do it with fewer trucks than we have currently dispatched, because we're going to ask our employees to work the full contract day that they're contracted for. So we're going to get that additional 2 hours. So right now, garbage collection, garbage workers, garbagemen make, I keep using the word garbagemen, obviously it's three people, driver, lifter, and another person on the back of the truck. Those three people currently work 4 hours a day, even though the contract calls for them to work six. So if we get everybody working those additional 2 hours a day, and we move from a route-based system to a district-based system, we can do it with fewer trucks dispatched, and we can do it more efficiently to cut down on overtime. That's how you realize the savings. And eventually, that's how you pay back the city, and then eventually you eliminate that fee.
Yeah, I mean, the rationale for that fee, that it was targeting properties that were otherwise not paying anything into the city, I actually support that initial mm-hmm. Idea of it. I was somebody that was, you know, I remember when the user fee came out, I remember when there was, like, you know, Masiello was standing on the street of a, you know, where some guy had shot a BB gun at the garbage truck, and, you know, it was, I remember that drama and being, you know, one of the people that was like, this is wrong. But I think that actual rationale for it is right, which I think we can't get into in this conversation, but that I do think that there's some, that even the idea of property tax and how we pay our bills and all this stuff, you know, I'm actually for, like, a total reevaluation of it.
Sure, go to a fee-based system, which is which, you know, again, it would require a change in New York state law, but I think it's a little silly that a lot of these nonprofit, you know, and I love nonprofits, I'm not here to bash on them, right? You know, they do phenomenal work and they're important to our community and they bring people to our city, but in bringing people to the city, they're using our roads and they're using our services and they're not paying for them. And that is a struggle that not just Buffalo deals with, it's every city in New York State. And I'm all for trying to find a creative solution to help the city recoup some of the costs that we incur to provide those services, whether it's road, plowing, police, fire, all of those services, basic essentials that city residents pay for, city business owners pay for, that nonprofits don't. But the justification in this limited sense for the user fee, I think has outlived its usefulness. And the other thing that I think we need to, before we move on to any other topic, is the city of Buffalo has a massive illegal dumping problem.
I did want to get into that, so that's fine. You can start
there. Okay, so you can, I mean, and it's, you know, we're, you know, in the Elmwood Village area, you don't really see it much. But you go to other parts of the city, and you see an open lot. And there's suddenly, you know, one day it's an open lot, and the next day you've got six tires, a bunch of black contractor bags, just garbage pile up in the middle of that lot. And the, you know, this has been something that has plagued the city for my entire life. And if you talk to the people who are out there and members of the streets department, you know, they open the bags and they see stuff in there with people's names on it. We do nothing to go after those people who belong to that bag. And that is a massive problem. It's we have a we have an accountability problem throughout the city, but it's also and this goes to, you know, leads into a different conversation entirely with the housing fines and fees, is that the city doesn't also try to hold people who break the law or break the rules of the city, whether it's housing court violations or illegal dumping. We don't do a very good job, or we don't do it at all, in trying to hold those people accountable. And we have to. I'm a prosecutor by vocation. That's how I grew up. And that's what, you know, my first job was. It's offensive to me that somebody thinks that they can drop a bunch of garbage in the middle of somebody's neighborhood and we're not going to do anything about it. When I'm mayor, we're absolutely doing something about it. And the other thing is, one of the other big points is we have a ton of city employees that are out in the city every day, whether it's parking enforcement or, you know, people cutting lawns or housing inspectors or police officers. All of those eyes and ears out in the entire city every single day. I want each one of those employees, when they see something like an instance of illegal dumping that's happened, they're going to call City Hall and say, here's the address, come pick it up. Because in my experience, if you don't remove that pile of garbage immediately, it's only going to invite more people to do the same. You have to address it every day. And we're going to start going after the people who do it. And we're going to fine them. Just like I know I talked about the eliminating bulk garbage, which I think it's the right thing to do. If you live in any other municipality around Erie County, when you have garbage, you put it out. You don't warehouse the garbage in your home until a specific day. So, but the expectation is you're not going to tear down your falling apart garage and put it to the curb and expect the city to pick it up. There are going to be rules. We're going to pick it up, but if you exceed the rules, we're going to fine you. And that's how it works. That's how it has to work. You can't just have, you know, you can't have a lack of accountability, both from city government, but also from city residents and city businesses who abuse the privilege it's not a privilege. They're taking advantage of a system that no longer is interested in holding them accountable. That stops when I get elected. Absolutely.
There's a couple of things I want to get into with this, but if there is garbage dumped and the city finds out about it, they do go after someone, and the person they go after is the property owner. And so, and it's the same thing with graffiti. Like if we had a situation where we renovated a building and it kept getting tagged, and mm-hmm. I mean the letters from the city, the phone conversations with the building inspectors were like, you people are criminals. And they were going to take us to task.
Right. Like you were the one out there tagging your own building.
I mean, and it cost us thousands of dollars to remove that graffiti, and I was going to do it whether or not the city was mad at us or not.
Right.
I was more mad than anyone else.
Sure.
Because we had just fixed up it was all this brickwork we'd done, and somebody it was massive. It was like a 15-foot tag that somebody mm-hmm. had spent probably 6 hours doing. It was crazy. But that's how they deal with it, is go the easiest route, which is to go after the property owner. The other thing with all this dumping that I see as a problem, so I'd like you to talk about it, is I understand that the composting location that you could drop off stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure about the electronics. The electronics may still be open or may not. But it's a spot on Seneca Street where you have to take this mm-hmm. stuff. And let's face it, a lot of people in the city, they're moving. Mm-hmm.
They don't want to be bothered.
Well, yeah. They don't want to be bothered. Or right. You might not have
or
a car.
A car, sure.
And so this stuff just does get dumped around the neighborhood. So part of it, I think, is also the city creating easier systems to get rid of all of this stuff. To get, like, we're going to have yard waste, right?
Right.
And you're going to have, I mean, we live in a, unfortunately, in a very disposable world.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be TVs thrown out. There's going to be this stuff. And they are complicated to get rid of. I don't excuse that.
Right.
But how do we create a system in the city where people can get rid of things like car tires, which they dump tires because it costs at least $5 to get rid of a tire.
Right.
And then you've got to drive it
somewhere
to take it. So how do we make it so that people can actually get rid of the stuff and not dump it on the vacant lot somewhere?
Yeah, no, I mean, that is obviously there's a, I mean, particularly with tires and paint and electronics, any other things that are potentially hazardous, right? We need to do, you know, I think the central drop-off point is still available, but it might be an opportunity where, as I said, we're talking about flooding the zone in terms of having elements of all of these departments in that district on the same appointed day, and I'd love to be able to make it easier for all residents and all business owners to just have it out there so that the appropriate department can pick it up. You know, and it might be it seems like the city of Buffalo lives in sort of like this Luddite world, right? I mean, everything from how you have to pay for things in City Hall to how the website works. It shouldn't be that difficult to say, look, to put in a request to say, I have, you know, four tires, or we just redid a whole bunch of remodeling, and we've got extra leftover paint, whatever it is. I need to be able to dispose of it in an easy way, and there's probably going to be a fee that's attached to at least the disposal of the tires and some other things. But if you have those resources available already going by someone's house, it shouldn't be that difficult to figure a way to get that to the appropriate department, whether it's a standalone dump truck or when it comes to yard waste, a packer truck to pick up the bagged leaves. The idea that I hope that the city isn't paying leave to dump leaves at the transfer station. You know, that is something that would be entirely appropriate to dump at a city site for composting. You know, I mean, it's those kind of creative problem-solving solutions that you can realize if you've got the available resources there. Because I agree, you're always going to have, you're going to need to keep the central sites open because that's just how it is, but you're for electronics and tires. But if there's an easier way to make sure for residents and business owners to throw away potentially hazardous materials, I'm all for it. We got to make, I'm all about making, trying to make this as easy to live in the city of Buffalo as possible.
Well, James, thanks again for the conversation, and we will talk to you again.
All right, great.
Thanks.